Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Welcome to yet another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Today we're going to talk about learning astrology. For those of you people that have been waiting around for a topic like this, how to learn it, in case you haven't had time to pick up a book or take a class, I am going to try to give you, in a 25-minute commercial-free segment, some of the basics that I feel a person needs to know, astrologically speaking. So, obviously a great show to record. Okay, how y'all doing? The moon wobble's not so bad, is it? Oh, I hate it. I hate it, I do. It's you know, worse than the moon wobble, I can't stand the Jupiter 10 Cancer square my Neptune 10 Libra for too long. Jeez, willikers. And Pluto 14 Scorpio square my Pluto at 14 Leo. I wish these planets would get off of my get off of me already. You're bearing down too hard. Some weird vibrations out there in the air right now, especially if you were born in the 40s. I'm real sorry about that. Your life has been kind of crazy lately, I understand. Astrology, frankly, like anything else, is a science. And frankly, astrology is not something that you can expect to get easy, you know, right away, like osmosis. A lot of people don't like to look at astrology beyond their sun signs. They're spoiled. They call me up and they say, Farley, can you guess my sign, or how am I doing today? That kind of reminds me of a nursery school type consciousness in astrology. Astrology as a science is meant for people that are hungry or thirsty for more than just the sun sign. Now, I'm not putting sun signs down, and Linda Goodman's book is very good for people that are into sun signs. But as far as I'm concerned, the real astrology the way it's meant to be delivered and understood and not propagandized or taken for granted, is scientific astrology. For example, when we take a look at a sign like Pisces, well, Pisces is a real wonderful sun sign, but if you consider that there are 12 different moon signs alone in the sign of Pisces, that's right. You know, there's not just Pisces. There's Pisces with Pisces moon, there's Pisces out there with Aries moon, there's Pisces with Taurus moon, with Gemini moon, the fish with Cancer, Leo, and so on. See, every sun sign has just as many factors of 12 as moon signs, which means that just because you're a Pisces sun sign, hey, a Pisces sun sign with a Virgo moon is going to be real different than a Pisces sun sign with a Scorpio moon. So astrologically, astrology as a science is a lot more intense, a lot more deeper, and does require some study for people that want to reach out beyond sun sign. And you got to give yourself a break. You know, when it comes to astrology, believe it or not, there is a line you crossed. It reminds me of the Alamo, you know, where we say, those of you that wish to go further, then please cross this line if you're going to stay in the Alamo. Because astrology does take a metaphysical decision where you give yourself permission to understand it. Isn't that funny that if those of you that have studied astrology know that there's like a part of you that is stubborn that refuses to acknowledge astrology as a science and metaphysically as intense and complicated as it can be, you must give yourself permission to learn it first. And when you cross that line, then it becomes a very interesting and adventurous quest. And only then does it become a quest. Now, frankly, I do believe that understanding astrology is very similar to one of my favorite games, backgammon. It's one of the easiest things in the world to understand the basic elements. It might take an entire lifetime to master those elements, but as far as getting down what the astrology chart is all about, it's very simple. And the astrology chart is the chart that is cast on the birth of a child, any child, or on the birth of an energy, or a moment, or an idea, or an animal, or anything. As soon as something is conceived and becomes animated and starts to live on its own without a mother or a host or without having to be dependent on anything, where it has its own personal needs, then that is the magical moment that we chart astrologically. And people say, well, Farley, why do we do that? What's the big deal? We astrologers believe that the universe is a very mobile engine. It is a very sensitive machine. And that from our point of view, the mobile universe, because most of the fixed stars that are light years away from Earth, from our point of view, do not move. What does move are the elements that are in this star system, the system of Sol, okay, that we live in, and those obviously are the planets that we all learned in elementary school. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. The sun, from our point of view, does rise and set, and it does change our seasons and such, and the moon is the closest celestial body to Earth. Now, understanding that, you have each one of those planetary factors, including the sun and the moon, which exists as an equal organ, an equal vital energy in any single astrology chart, that's your beginning right there. So, in order to learn astrology and understand it and master it and study it, you must understand that everyone and everything has a birth effect or a birth or a natal chart. Everything. And that is why when we ask you to send away for your packages, we need to know your date, your time, and the place you were born. And that way we can use our logarithms, our physics, and calculus, which is what you need to do a chart, to exactly calculate the exact location of where was the sun in reference to the Earth, where was the moon, where were all the planets besides the Earth, because we live in Earth, we're not really concerned with the Earth's location as much as we are concerned with where everything was in relationship to the Earth, and that is a chart. Now, where do the zodiac signs come in? Well, that's simple. You see, when you look up in the sky, if you ever notice, if you ever can find the planets, if, you know, you ever listen to the weatherman and he says, well, Venus and Mars are rising today before sunrise, you know, and you come outside and you see these two bright lights in the horizon, almost in line, and usually in line from west to east. The planets and the sun and the moon rise always in the east and set in the west. They never rise in the north and set in the south or vice versa. And there's a reason for that. Because all the planets, including the Earth, including the moon, too, of course, are frozen as far as equators are concerned. In other words, the planets, as they orbit the sun, are pretty much locked in to the gravitational part of the star itself, the sun itself, where that star's equator is. Now, that equator is called the ecliptic. And it just so happens that the sun's equator is equal to the 12 signs of the zodiac. In other words, if you want to calculate planetary locations, then the stellar constellations you want to be most concerned with would be those 12 constellations that go from east to west in a circle around the Earth and around this entire solar system. And it just so happens to be Aries, Taurus, this constellation of Gemini, a constellation of Canis Major, Cancer, a constellation of Leo, and constellation of Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. These are sectors of space. These are areas of space that have been identified by these massive star systems. Thousands of years ago, they were identified in the tropical zodiac, which is what I teach here on the show. And these sectors of space represent the vibration which embraces the vibration of each zodiacal constellation. So when we talk about a constellation like Leo and the area of space that Leo identified thousands of years ago, which is astrologically what we are concerned with, that is an area of space which epitomizes the vibration which is the Leo vibration. See, there's an obvious logic behind each sign. In other words, it's not an accident that Virgo energy is picky and analytical, and Leo energy is stubborn and arrogant and creative, and Libra energy is balancing and loving and charming and manipulative. And Scorpio energy is intense and erratic because astrologers throughout the ages have kept diaries for thousands and thousands of years, way back to pre-Atlantis. They've kept diaries following the movement of the planets through these zodiacal constellations. And they have come up with human behavioral patterns depending on where the planets go. And especially knowing where certain planets are at the birth of an individual, which is what we call the natal chart, we can understand a particular person's identity and emotions and personality and life characteristics because we now know what signs their planets and their chart embrace. See, like, everyone has a chart. Everyone has a chart that includes basically only 11 ingredients. That's it. The sun is one. The moon is number two. Where Mercury is, you know, where that's located is number three. Then Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. They can only exist in any one of the 12 signs. So when I'm doing someone's chart and I'm saying, well, you have Jupiter in Pisces, that means when you were born, you had the planet Jupiter located in space in the zodiacal sector known as Pisces. Now, that sector would not astronomically be identified as Pisces. It would be actually one sign off. Because once again, The universe, the stars, have moved since the tropical zodiac was designed. So what we are actually more interested in is the area of space, the beyond, the eternal beyond that was beyond that stellar constellation that is visible to us. See, the constellation is visible to us, but what lies beyond it, a billion parsecs beyond, is not visible to us. And what lied behind that constellation thousands of years ago, billions of parsecs behind it, would be that vibration of Pisces. So when we say you have Jupiter at anyone from 0 to 30 degrees of Pisces, could be any one of those degrees, any sign is made up of 30 degrees, then we are trying to tell you that is where your Jupiter is located, in the sector of maybe 9 Pisces. Okay? And we can analyze, knowing what Jupiter means and knowing what Pisces means, we can add that ingredient to your personality. See, Jupiter is a planet that is very important because it concerns your optimistic level, your confidence factor, your independence factor, your travel factor, your expansionism. See, so anyone with Jupiter in Pisces is going to be, whatever Pisces is, they're going to expand upon that. They're going to be a lot more sensitive, a lot more vulnerable, a lot more dreamy, a lot more psychic, more self-destructive and harden themselves if things don't go well. They may be prone to create enemies if they're upset, if they're mad or mean towards people. And also, they have tremendous spiritual potential because they have Jupiter in Pisces too. And religious potential also. See, so just from knowing where Jupiter is, we can understand that part of a person's personality. Each and every planet tells a different story in a chart. So you can take months analyzing one planet in your chart. And like I say, see, you have to give yourself permission to understand this stuff. Because if you lived your whole life thinking you're a Virgo, then you find out you have Jupiter in Pisces and Saturn in Scorpio, you might say, well, I don't like Scorpios. I don't like Pisces. But many of us, if not all of us, are made up of many of the same ingredients. So we are very similar. And you find out about people. You find out why they are the way they are. You find out why you do the way you do, why you think the way you think, and why you keep reacting to certain patterns and cycles the way you do. You might have an abundance of energies in what we call the fixed signs of Leo, Scorpio, Taurus, and Aquarius. You could be a Leo with a Scorpio moon, Taurus rising, and Venus and Mars, Venus in Leo and Mars in Aquarius, and be one stubborn son or daughter of a gun here. Because those fixed signs make for stubborn, dominant, arrogant, know-it-all-ish type people who think they are the boss and in control. On the other hand, if you have an abundance of the mutable signs, like Pisces, Virgo, Sag, and Gemini, you might be so confused and so out of control and so open-minded that you're totally deluded. You have no idea what's going on. You lack the power of the fixed signs, you have an abundance of mutables. And then, of course, the other family is the cardinals, which is made up of Libra, Aries, Capricorn, and Cancer, which is what we call the freight train to hell combination. People that are so busy doing what they think they should be doing that they're not paying attention to anything else. But the purpose and the point of this topic is to let you know that if you want to understand astrology, and you want to understand astrology for real, beyond your sun sign, which is just 1/11th of your chart, that's why it irks me when people judge astrology as a science through the garbage that's been printed in the papers and the magazines throughout eons, because people on this planet have not given themselves permission to learn astrology beyond sun sign. They are locked in to nursery school astrology, and it doesn't work. Like I say, there are too many divisions in each sign. Like Aries alone, I could probably come up with 1,200 different types of personality types alone. For Aries, the 12 sun sign, 12 Aries times the 12 possible moons times the 12 possible risings. Well, that's 144 times 12 right there. So just considering Aries alone, I'd say we're talking about probably 144,000 different types of personalities with all 12 signs included. Now, there's a lot of uniqueness here, folks. So getting astrology down, you have to get your chart done. And when you analyze your chart, you're going to find out that you have these 11 factors, the sun, moon, rising sign, and the rising sign is whatever zodiacal sector is rising at the moment of your birth where the sun rises in the east. That's why they call it rising, also called ascendant, A-S-C-E-N-D-A-N-T. So where's the sun, where's the moon, where's the rising, and where are all the planets when you were born? That's the question the chart answers. Farley was born August 11, 1948, 11:21 in the morning, Central Daylight Time, St. Louis, Missouri. I was born with the sun in Leo, the moon in Scorpio, Libra was rising, And my Mercury's in Leo also. My Venus is in Cancer. My Mars is in Libra. My Jupiter's in Sag. My Saturn's in Leo. My Uranus is in Gemini. My Neptune's in Libra. And my Pluto is in Leo. There's my chart. That's my chart. That's it. If you want to understand Farley and analyze me and analyze my life pattern, my profile, my character, my destiny, or what my future holds by knowing the date, the time, and the place I was born, and then discovering where those 11 factors are, you can pretty much understand why I am the way I am. And people say, well, why is that, Far? I'll tell you why. Because each and every one of those 11 factors reveals an important truth about our character and our destiny. I'll show you. The rising, the most important part of any astrological chart, not only because it is the personality and it is the separation point, the uniqueness factor that designs character, but it also sets up and arranges what we call the 12 houses of life. See, because besides knowing where the planets are in their signs, the second thing you have to know in astrology is where the rising is, and by knowing that, how your 12 pieces of pie that we call the 12 houses of life are divided. Everyone has a different set of 12 houses, unless you should happen to meet someone in the rare instance, the rare happenstance, where they have the same exact rising degree as you do. Like, I'm 20 Libra rising. I've met a handful of them in my life. John F. Kennedy is someone I'm proud of that just happened to be 20 Libra rising. And that's why I relate to that guy. So, just like me, if you take a look at this guy's life, you go, hey, Farley's life is pretty similar to this guy. But anyway, it's so true. So knowing what signs the planets are in, you can analyze that. The 12 houses of life are important to know because the 12 houses of life will house your planets. Now, the rising starts the 12 house setup, right? So that actually is not going to be found in any one house. That is going to be the starting point of the first house. But see, after you know what signs your planets are in, like Venus in Cancer and Mars in Libra and Jupiter in Sag, like I told you, then you'll also find out, once you know your rising sign, what houses the planets live in. You know, just to be brief, I have my Moon in my first house, my Mercury is in my 10th house, knowing I'm 20 Libra rising, this is where they lie, my Venus is in my 9th house, my Mars is in the 12th house, my Jupiter's in the 2nd house, retrograde, my Saturn's in the 11th, and my Uranus is in the 9th, and my Pluto's in the 10th. So you notice I have focus on first house, second house, ninth house, 10th house, 11th house, and 12th houses. Well, if you have empty houses, doesn't matter, because each and every planet controls one particular house. So no worry there. But by knowing what houses your planets are in, we start to focus on what is called karma here. We start to understand life's lesson, life's mission, focus of energy. Now, obviously, with my planets in the first house, the second house, the ninth, 10th, 11th, and 12th, to understand astrology, you know, so far, what's it sound like you got to do? Well, astrology is a science of combinations, spelled C-O-M-B-I-N-A-T-I-O-N-S, which means if you learn the basic key words for the 12 signs, and you learn the basic key words, knowing that I told you rising sign was character, identity, and personality, the Moon is the emotions, Venus is values, love factor, Mars is your health, your battery, your male influence, your yang, Venus is your yin. By learning key words of each and every one of the signs, of each and every one of the planets, then you learn the key words for each and every one of the houses. Well, you're starting to figure out a person here. And you know, the toughest thing about life, in my opinion, is to know thyself. And that's why I love astrology, because astrology allows you the ability to understand why you are the way you are, because you are analyzing this shock circuit, this charge that your body and every single cell in your body becomes under influence by the moment you come out of the womb, the umbilical cord is cut, and the first breath, the first time you become one with this dimension. When you go beyond that dimension in the womb, and you come out of the womb and you become one with Earth and this universe, then there's a philosophy in astrology. It is called, as above, so below. And you literally become a reflection of that moment in time of the entire dimension. And that's why when we analyze a chart of someone's birth, we can understand why they are the way they are and what karma they are meant to experience in their life, by knowing where the planets are in their signs and in their houses. And it's magnificent. And that's why when people call me up on the radio, some 20, 30,000 readings for 6 years here. You might wonder how I know what they're about. In many ways, I plug into what they're going through. Ah, you're having the midlife crisis, or while you're going through some major changes in your relationships or your career, or you could have had a wonderful month this last month. You know, it's because I can see their chart. At, by this time, I would hope I'd be able to read their character and their emotions by knowing their chart. And when you order your charts from us, we include a study guide called How Horoscopes Work that gives you all the key words for all the planets and their signs, what all the houses mean, what all the planets mean, what all the signs mean, and then there's a little puppy that also comes in there. The final ingredient to any chart are the aspects. And that's all you need to know. If you know planets and signs, what they mean, planets and houses, and planets by aspect, you got basic astrology down. It's that simple. That's why I tell everyone to memorize your chart. Those 11 factors. Know where your planets are. Know where they are by sign, know where they are by house, and know where they are by degree of sign. And if you're really good, you'll know what aspects they are. Now, people say, Farley, what are the aspects? Well, let me read you a little definition from Jim Maynard's Almanac and Textbook of Astrology and Celestial Influences. He says, an important part of astrology is understanding how the planets interact. The planets from various angular relationships to Earth, which are called aspects. Okay, so I'll say it again. The planets form various angular relationships to Earth, which are called aspects. Imagine an aspect as the blending of the rays of two planets. Okay, so we have the 12 possible signs. We've got the 8 planets besides the Earth with the Sun, Moon, and Rising. That's 11 factors, so we got 23 so far. We have the 12 houses of life. That's another 12. That's 35 things to learn. And then we have the aspects. There are 5 major aspects, so that means there are 40 things to learn in astrology. What the 12 signs mean, what the 12 houses mean, what the 8 planets besides the Earth, the Sun, Moon, and Rising mean, and what the 5 major aspects mean. 40 things to get down, to speak the language of astrology. That way if someone says 7th house, or Mercury, or Pisces, or square, or opposition, by knowing your 40 basics, you're going to have it down. And if you take the time when I'm off the air to take your study guide, How Horoscopes Work, and find those 40 factors and learn them, then when you tune into this show, it's going to be like sailing. You'll be like skating. You'll be like the Calgary Flames. You'll be a speed skater. There are 5 major aspects which come from dividing the zodiac, the 12 signs, by 1, by 2, by 4, by 3, and by 6. Dividing the zodiac in half gives us what's called the opposition aspect. This is when two planets are on opposite sides of the Earth in the two signs that are opposite each other. That creates a 180-degree separation, such as a full moon, which is a sun-moon opposition. The reverse of the opposition is the conjunction. This occurs when two planets are in the same degree of longitude in the zodiac. That means they're in the same sign. They're in the same space. They're conjunct. Dividing by 1/3 the zodiac gives us a triangle that is called a trine and a 120-degree aspect. A triangle is the strongest straight-sided geometrical shape. And the trine is the most harmonious astrological aspect. It represents deeds we have done in past lives, also duty, which is dharma. 3 planets, each 120 degrees apart within orb, form a grand trine. But if 2 planets make up one side of that triangle, that is a regular trine, and that works. That's good. Dividing the trine in half gives the sextile, which is 60 degrees, which is also a harmonious aspect. And dividing the opposition in half, making it a right angle, when one planet is 3 signs away or 90 degrees away, is called a square. And basically, the sextile is favorable, that offers potential. The square is karmic, traditionally regarded as unfavorable, it offers growth and areas to improve self-esteem and motive and self-love and improve being insecure perhaps, make it more secure. The trine, very harmonious, shows luck and balance and ease. And the opposition shows challenges, creating things that are impossible sometimes to complete. It is obsession. Ridiculous obsession, and also opposite energies at hand. It's like getting involved in marrying someone that's wrong for you and later realizing it. And the conjunctions when two planets are in the same area, and this gives strength to the energies of the interacting planets, this aspect can be harmonious or discordant depending on any other aspects. and nature of the planets involved, but usually the two planets blend their rays, blend their meanings together. Now, that's astrology. You know, that I think is one of the better explanations I have given, not to pat myself on the back here, in the 6 years I've been on KFOX, getting those 40 factors down, learning the keywords for the 12 signs, the 12 houses, the 8 planets besides the Earth, the Sun, Moon, and Rising, that makes up the 11, and also the aspects, the 5 major aspects. There's one other aspect we call an inconjunct, which is a 150-degree aspect. But if you master those 41 factors or 40 factors, then you're going to be able to speak the language of astrology. And in order to understand any astrology chart and to converse with me or any astrologically aware person, you must know the language. And that's how to learn astrology. Now, if you're somebody that never knew about astrology before and you tuned into today's show, congratulations, because you just got a 24-carat explanation on how astrology really works as a science. This show stays on the air because the public keeps us here. It's your choice to keep us on the air. If you don't want the Astrology Hour on the air, then we'll be gone. But frankly, unlike most shows that might ask for donations, you know, the beautiful part of this show is that we offer a way for you to astrologically and metaphysically understand yourself better. It is my purpose in life to teach people about themselves and to love what they are and who they are and to respect each other for it. That's why we use astrology. You have to be so open-minded and give yourself so much permission to be able to grasp the science of astrology. And if you've heard the show today, you'll notice it's not black magic. It's just a science. It's fun.